I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 5, Episode 10, Mercy Shall Follow Me. I'm Adrienne Snow. I'm also here with Rachel Goodman.
Hey everyone, I'm really excited to talk about this episode, especially once we get to the page screen talking about what they changed, because there were a lot of things done out of order.
And with Angel Taylor.
Hey guys, I'm excited to talk about this episode. It was very surprising the way they ended it.
Yes, Lee Broadway isn't here with us this week, but she will be back next week. So let's just go ahead and get into it. Let's just go, do first thoughts. Rachel?
So Stephen Bonnet, my thing with him is that, and I know we just talked about this in the 60-second, but I'm just going to say it again in case people did not see that. My thing with him is that I actually disliked him even more as we were watching him before we got to the moment with Epi where he turned and did what he did. I still did not trust him. Everything about what he was doing to Brianna felt like one giant manipulation. Even mm-hmm. the moments where I think he was trying to be authentic, I think were not authentic.
Mm. Angel?
He had me fooled, Rachel. He really did. he pulled my heartstrings because I know he was an orphan and he wanted to be a gentleman. And I fell for it. I completely fell for it. I felt so stupid after the fact. And I really thought that Bree was getting a soft spot for him. I thought she willingly went in for, I don't want to say she willingly went in for the kiss, but I felt like it would have been more resistance given their history. It felt like, I don't know, like he broke her down a little bit.
Yeah, I just thought he was a psychopath. Once a psychopath, always a psychopath. And I never got the sense that Brie really fell for it. I felt like she was just trying to play it as safe as possible, knowing what he's capable of, and even like what Epi kind of warned her of, that, you know, he's that quick to turn, which he did. So I never really felt like anything she was doing wasn't for her some type of survival mechanism. And Stephen Bonnet is Point Break. You know, he's always going to be crazy and a psychopath, okay? Like, he's crazy. But let's go into and just start kind of from the top. So we do have that moment between, I just call them Point Break and The Hobbit. I'm sorry, Mr. Forbes. Everyone's like, that's so rude because he's short. I'm like, no, suckas, he was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So anyways, so we have them kind of just going over their plotting and their planning, and how do we feel about that? And then also to kind of touch on this to segue so we can be done with Mr. Forbes / Hobbit, how do we feel about that scene between him and Jocasta and Ulysses?
I mean, I was surprised that Forbes had the audacity to, I mean, one, he knew that the fortune was not going to go to him and that was his money. Well, that was, sorry, his money, because it's not really his, but mm-hmm. I was surprised that Forbes had the audacity to react the way that he did with that mm-hmm. anger. I would have expected that from someone like Bonnet, but yeah. Forbes seemed like, he always seemed too even keel to me to react to that emotionally in that moment.
Where right.
So I still believe it. It isn't like, I still think that he could go there and obviously did. It just surprised me, I guess is the best way to say.
Angel?
It felt weird. Like that whole scene was a little offbeat for me. It didn't really go. I don't know. It just felt weird. It was out of character the way he reacted. And it was such an obvious buildup. I was really surprised because Jocasta is very intuitive and she can feel people out very well. And mm-hmm. they played her dumb on this episode and I didn't like that because she's smarter. Like, she has a heightened sense everywhere else except the eyes. So I just felt like they played her really dumb this episode to where she couldn't read between the lines. His tone changed. The energy in the room changed, like as she kept, you know, telling him which fortune went to which. And I thought really she was antagonizing him. And I don't know, like the way he flipped out and she wasn't ready for it. I was like, how were you ready for it? It was a buildup. So I don't know. I didn't like that scene.
Yeah, I think they played it kind of that way because this is somebody that she's trusted for so long. And I think as savvy as Jocasta is, she's also kind of used to having things her way. So I don't think she would anticipate him being a threat because she's known him for so long at this point. But at the same time, I think they kind of rushed that when they could have had it, they could have let it be a slow build or something where, you know, he started to show signs of this character a little bit more throughout earlier in the season. Because now it's kind of like, boom, and now he's an evil guy and this is that, and now he's dead. So it was kind of a bit rushed on that end. I think I would have sacrificed a little bit of the Roger slow paced storylines to have a little bit more with Forbes and Bonnet, just because I feel like they kind of got forgotten about sometimes in this season, only to be brought back to be like slam packed into this episode.
I just want to say too, people in the chat are saying we're frozen, and it's frozen on my screen too when I go to YouTube. So just want to let Bree know in case I did send a message, but yeah, sorry.
No worries. If we're not recording, we should know.
Everyone in the chat is saying we're frozen.
Okay. So then maybe we'll just keep going, and I'm sure they'll have to re-upload it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in any case, everyone who sees this later is going to be like, what? It's perfectly fine. It wasn't frozen. But
now we're good.
Cool. In any case, so we get that Point Break, Stephen Bonnet is, I don't know. We get to the point where we see the family at the breakfast and they're plotting. And the first thing I thought was, why didn't they leave like Ian with Claire and Bree? Because I would assume maybe that Stephen Bonnet being the way he's always been, that things may not go to plan. And so how do we feel about just that decision for them to separate off and go after all of them to go after Bonnet and to leave Claire and Bree kind of behind and frolicking on a beach?
I thought that was a little reckless. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing is that unfortunately, Brianna and Claire, they're unarmed. They have nothing to protect themselves with. They are, as they said, in a corset, which puts them at a major disadvantage, even if they could fight. And yeah, they should have had someone like Ian going with them because they had to have known that Bonnet might. I mean, I think that it was a coincidence, but Bonnet just happened to see them. But they had to have anticipated that there was a possibility that Bonnet would not go where he said he was going to go, and that he could run into Brianna and Claire.
Yeah. Angel? Well,
I agree with you on that, but I really feel like Jamie's confidence in Roger isn't all the way there yet, so he needed reinforcement. That's why Ian's a great shot. He was hanging with the natives, so you know he can kill. And I just think Roger wasn't as confident as he should have been going with Jamie. He was kind of caught in the middle, like, I don't want to take a man's life. Like, anybody that has a type of resistance, I'm sorry, you can't come with me if we're down for the count. Like, I don't. And your capabilities, you cannot second guess yourself, especially under pressure in the moment. I need you to be down for the cause. And so I really feel like that's why he took Ian.
Mm. Yeah, I can understand it, you know, wanting to just have that backup, especially because Roger isn't really prepared to fight or kill in that way. But even just being like, and while this is happening, just make sure that you guys are on Fraser's Ridge so that if anything happens, you're surrounded by Marcelly, you're surrounded by Fergus, you're surrounded by the people of Fraser's Ridge. It seemed mighty convenient that they chose to go frolic on a beach, and mighty convenient that Stephen Bonnet happened to spot them and follow after him in that moment, and that the gun jammed. Like, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, and this is clearly fiction, and that's how it goes, but I was just like, this is a bit too convenient. Yeah. Okay. But in any case, I feel like there's more to talk about with Claire, and let's just go into Jamie. So Jamie and Roger and Ian do finally get to the barrel of whiskey sale with Bonnet's men, who they anticipate will just immediately betray Bonnet. I don't know why they thought that would be as easy as they thought. How did you guys feel about that scene and just Roger's fighting skills finally being on display?
Well, here's the problem is that I'm just going to say something about the book now, even though we're going to get to it more later. My problem is, in the show, what I think they missed is the fact that in the books, Jamie actually trained Roger to fight and to sword fight specifically. So we missed, unless they just did it without showing us in the in the show, I feel like that is a missed opportunity, because how is Roger suddenly fighting a lot better than he did before? Not to say that he was the greatest, but suddenly Roger's doing a much better job.
Yeah. Angel?
Another weird scene for me. It just felt like, I don't know, it was rushed, and it was like, oh, let's try and see if this will work. It didn't flow. And I knew something was going to go wrong. It was obvious. It was just the foreshadowing of, I honestly thought during that moment, one of the main characters were going to die. Like, that's how stupid the scene was. I was like, oh, that's for something terrible. So
yeah.
One of the main characters were going to die during that moment. So I didn't really like that scene.
Yeah. But that scene does lead us to their coming to confrontation with the gentleman whose name I've now forgotten, who paints his face. What's his name?
Wiley.
Who gives them the information that leads them to the brothel, where we meet Epi for the probably third time at the episode. And so we have Claire kind of pulling her, you know, oh, I can't think of the name of the show, but I was going to make a pun, but whatever. Her medicine woman. Yeah, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. Magic. that's it. And helping her, which leads to Epi giving her information. So how do we feel about that? The introduction of Epi and of her realizing that Claire's or Bree's parents were there to find her.
It was too convenient. Why was it that convenient? Out of all the whores in the whorehouse, she singled out the exact one that knew Bree, spoke to Bree, saw Bree. They all looked very suspicious. They all knew who Stephen Bonnet was. Were all tight-lipped. So I just thought they wrote it a little too convenient for the scene to move along faster.
Mm.
That did feel convenient. I agree with you. I think for me, it's one thing if Epi had done something obvious, like, and seemed guilty of knowing something, and then Claire approached her. But the way that they went about it, it just seemed like Claire found someone who looked like she had a physical, you know, some kind of physical ailment, and went to her, and then that happened to be the right person. The only thing I can guess is that maybe Claire did this to everyone, and until she found someone who knew something, maybe. But that if they had showed her doing this, interviewing a couple people and like digging a little bit, I would have bought it more.
Yes. That would have been more realistic. Because it gets up and limps off, that does not mean that she knew Bree or knew Stephen Bonnet or had just slept with him.
Yeah.
Like, that was just like, oh, okay, here's the resolution in the hand. There you go.
Yeah. It definitely seemed like they want to, and they even admitted this at the end of the episode, that they took the storyline from book 6 and moved it up because they wanted to resolve the Stephen Bonnet storyline, which I understand, and he is annoying, But at the same time, I think they could have afforded to let that breathe a little bit. I mean, if they had Murtaugh come back after being gone for two seasons, they could have let Stephen Bonnick disappear for half a season and bring him back later to kind of, you know, come into confront with the family. Go ahead.
Well, the whole thing is that what they showed us was book six, and this doesn't even happen until near the end, not the very end, but like toward the end of book six is when we get this confrontation with Bonnet. There's something else that happens in five, but I agree with you. I think that we should have waited. Even if they were going to try and wrap it up, I think that they could have brought him back in season six and wrapped it up then.
And rumor is that they're still going to try and do the same ending from book five, which is pretty intense. So let's go into just the whole Stephen Bonnet and Bree story or part of the episode. So he gets her, he kidnaps her, and he attempts to behave like a gentleman. How do we feel about Stephen Bonnet, point break, the gentleman?
Here's the thing is that the way that Stephen Bonnet has such a screw loose, like that's the only way I can explain this. I believed that he genuinely thought to himself that he was going to try, but I also just feel like he's not all there, and I could not believe the things that he was saying when I think that he convinced himself that he wanted to do these things. Mm-hmm. But I think that the reality is that he really did not want to live in this world or be this person that he was having Brianna teach him to be. I think that he found it thrilling, and that something, he basically liked the excitement of pretending.
Mm-hmm. Angel?
Yes. I like now, because hindsight is 2020, due to his loose screw, I do see him getting off on make-believe, and he's a pirate for crying out loud. So yeah, this is totally right up his alley to have this whole make-believe story in his head, like he's going to be the best daddy and he's going to turn his life around, turn over a new leaf and become a family guy. And I don't know, a part of me wanted them to confuse the story and make Bree kind of like have a change of heart a little bit, get softer for him because he's starting to change. I wanted his character to have an arc. But that was just me and my selfishness, because I don't want to see bad people die bad. I want to see them evolve in some way. So that was on me. And that's what I get for hoping, wishing, and praying that he did turn over a new leaf. And he totally made a fool out of me on this episode.
Well, so my thing is that there are certain things when a character does them, to me, that character is never redeemable. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with you though, Angel. I would have preferred if he really had been changing and we had seen some kind of an arc. But in this case, for me, even if we had seen that arc, I still would have wanted him to get his justice because of what he had done. Not just to Brianna, but the way that he treated Claire, Jamie, and presumably other people.
Roger.
And on the boat,
all of the women he slept with and how he treats them like cattle. That to me, that guy just deserves to, you know.
And I'm sure he's raped more than one woman, but
well, what he did in front of Bree with Effie, like that, I can't get that out of my head. It's one of those scarring moments of all TV for me. It was like when Jamie got raped, I was traumatized for that month and the month following. This is kind of one of those moments where I'm like, I know you did not. So yeah, it was startling to watch that. And like, I was going through, I think Bree played that very well. Like the minute he put it in, she just kind of like snapped her face away from it to not take it in that moment. because, oh gosh, I was empathing so hard.
Yeah, and I think that, what was that?
Oh, no, go ahead. And then I just want to say something after that.
Oh, yeah, no worries. I think, like, for me, this whole time, I said, if Brianna doesn't get to kill Steven Bonnet, then I will feel like the show has betrayed me. Because a lot of the storyline with Bonnet has really been about, honestly, male ego. Steven Bonnet's male ego, Roger's ego, Jamie's ego. It's always about doing, you know, it's my right to kill Steven Bonnet because of what he did to my wife. My right to kill Steven Bonnet because of what he did to my daughter. The only person who had the right to kill Steven Bonnet was Brianna. Like, and I was like, she has to be the one to do it. If she doesn't get to kill him, then I will scream to the heavens. So when they made it so that she would be captured by him, I was like, okay, then you're giving her the opportunity to do it herself. Like, the men didn't get to him, so she has to have the opportunity to do it herself. And then when they tried to play like the, he's a good guy or he's damaged, I was like, okay, cool. No, you're lying to me. Like, he's still Steven Bonnet. He's just playing a game. And even when he said that line about, like, well, you can learn to love me and I can learn to love you. And, like, it's just such a game to him and such, like, an egotistical, sorry, I've dated a lot of assholes who were, like, 10 steps away from becoming Steven Bonnet.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah.
Me too. That's why I do not trust people like Steven Bonnet.
But it made sense that, okay, if you're going to have him like re-traumatize her, she has to be the one to pull the trigger. So, but what were you going to say, Rachel?
I was just going to say that I think that, well, first of all, they're kind of going off what you said about dating guys like Steven Bonnet. It's sad when you like I've dated people who I would not say that they were on Steven Bonnet's level because I've never met anyone like that, but they were, you know, like you said, 2 steps from getting there. And from dating people like that, you kind of know that it is a game to them and that they do certain things for the excitement. And what I was going to say is that when Brianna went to kiss Steven Bonnet, and he acted like, oh, well, it's the kiss that made me realize. I think Steven Bonnet knew all along that Brianna was playing a game right back at him to survive. Yeah. And that he just wanted to make her suffer. And that this, because he was enjoying the game, he didn't say anything until she kissed him, used it as an excuse. And then the sick part of him was like really deeply offended. Like, he really played into that. And, you know, and like, he's such a pathological liar too, that he played into it and he got so mad and just went off on her. But I think that he knew the whole time it was a game and that, or not a game to her, but to him it was a game. And that for her, she was just telling him what he wanted to hear so she could get out of there.
Well, I think she got to the point where she just played it a little too dumb. And I was like, oh, because they even wrote that down. It's like, oh, she's just playing it a bit too dumb. He's not stupid. And so, because I do think that he 100% believes the story that he tells himself about, you know, letting things be bygones and maybe we can try again and maybe I can turn this whole new leaf. Because, in at least in my experience, men who are like that can easily change the story in their head to whatever fits their needs. And then when she didn't live up to his expectation, he immediately just showed his true colors and went back to, you know, traumatizing her and then attempting to sell her. So let's talk about that. Yeah. Like, sorry, I'm fanning myself because it's hot in my apartment, but it's Scotland.
Huh? Oh, cool.
What was that, Angel?
No, I was like, when it comes to Steven Bonnet, when it rains, it pours. He just pours so much salt on these new wounds that he makes. I was awestruck. I was like, why? How and why? Because I really thought it was all a game and he was just attempting to, like, pretending like he was going to sell her so he can kill the guy and get the money. Like, I thought it was going to play like, you know, I wouldn't sell you. You're the mother of my child, you know, and he wanted to keep her for himself. But he was actually going through it. I was like, you? Oh my gosh. Okay. That's just curse on here, but I was cursing at the screen because of the audacity.
That's
what I thought too. I thought that he was just trying to mess with her. Like, for example, when he said, I'll show you what you're missing out on, and then had sex with Epi. But then he went, like, I thought he was just trying to, like, mess with her. And then when he brought the captain in and he was like, oh, I'm going to sell you. Yeah, 6 pounds. That's great. Perfect. Because, you know, because you're a good friend, I'll give you her for 6 pounds. And then, but I thought that he was just going to let the captain, like, start to take her. And then he was going to stop it and, like, continue to torture her and say, if you don't do what I tell you to, this is what's going to happen. Now, in the book, it's different. So, I'm really excited to get to the book because it explains some of his motives a little bit better. But in terms of the show, he seemed more like he was just messing with her to not to pretend to sell her and then pull it back at the last minute.
Y'all know Stephen Bonnet cares for no one. He cares for that money. And even he only cares for the child so he can get the money. So, like, and for me, that's one person that's out of his way in his goal to get River Run and the money. So him selling her made total sense because also he would know where she was at all times. He could find her again and torture her if he wanted to. And she was really the only thing in his way between him and his inheritance. So it made sense that he would do that because he just doesn't care about anyone or anything, you know, except himself. But what was very super duper convenient is that right at the moment, right as she was about to be sold, like on the way to the boat, not even on the boat, they find the island just in time to come in and save her from this man and Stephen Bonnet. How do we feel about this?
Like, the Angela, whole you're shaking your head. Episode was a setup. Like, everything was so conveniently set up to move the story along faster. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the fact that I felt that. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to see it and not realize it and, you know, realize it after the fact, but when you can go through the episode, like, why did they do that? And, oh, that was too convenient. Oh, that was too much. Like, when they do that and I can feel it through the episode, it kind of brings down the quality of the episode to me.
Mm. Rachel?
Yeah, it did feel very convenient. I get that they were just trying to, you know, resolve things and that they're ready to move on to the next part, the next arc of the season, but it just felt too convenient of all the places. And that island, they don't really tell you, but the island is not that small. I mean, it's not huge, but the fact that they would figure out exactly
the exact
where
point beach, right?
Yeah. And not only where his house is, like, fine, if they found out where the house was on the island, okay, I could buy that. But then as they're leaving, like, and they're on the beach, which, you know, they could have been anywhere on that beach, and Jamie, Claire, Roger show up. That felt very convenient, unless they were waiting and knew, you know, well, how would they have even known that they were going to take Brianna out of the house?
Yeah. The episode, I mean, like I said, everything felt a bit rushed, but, you know, I guess that's the easiest way to wrap it up because this is no longer the priorities, like the priority storyline of the show right now. So for some reason, Brianna's like, I want him to face justice and the law because I believe in the law. And he, it just seemed like, what? Like, we've done so much.
Killing people at their own discretion for the entire whole life of the show. So they kill people when they want to, and they don't go through any proper channels to do it. So I thought that was weird. And I really wanted more of a fight between Bonnet and Roger or Bonnet and Jamie. Like, I felt like Bonnet got put down too easily because we've been building him up all these seasons and he went out like that. It was kind of like, they took something away from what could have been a really good villain cue.
Yeah. They kind of did a similar thing with Jack.
Wait, yeah, they did. where he just died on the battle. Yeah.
He just died on the battlefield. We barely saw it. Like, and then he like died in Jamie's arms and it was like, this is awkward. And it was just, it really, they kind of are disappointing with their villain deaths, which is, yeah, is frustrating as a viewer. But the only way they really paid this off in the end was, you know, I've never seen a death by drowning scene before, so that was interesting to encounter. But also, yeah, the only payoff to the entire storyline was that bullet hitting his skull and then the camera cutting to Brianna holding the gun. And I was, yeah, like, okay. Like, I wanted a better death for Stephen Bonnet, but I'm still happy that in the end, it was Brianna who pulled the trigger.
Yeah, me too.
Any other final thoughts on this episode or the death of Stephen Bonnet or anything before I move on to news and gossip and Patreon screen?
One thing to say. Who is going to be the new villain?
No comment.
No comment.
Give it here.
All I'm going to say is there's more into book 5 than what we've seen. And I have a feeling, yeah, that we're going to see a lot of it in book 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the last two episodes will be interesting. And, you know, they Google it. Like, you'll figure it out real fast. All right. Well, let's just go into a little bit of news and gossip then. Rachel?
Yeah. So this I watched something that they put on a show on YouTube called For the Love of Scotland, and both Richard Rankin and Sam Heughan were on. Sam Heughan was actually showing people how to make a cocktail. So if you have not watched it, it was live. They had all kinds of people. It wasn't just, I mean, everyone, they had Annie Lennox playing a song, and they had other really famous Scottish people on the show as well. And it was just really fun to kind of, you know, see this group get together, and they were, they were basically collecting money for a good cause to give people masks for COVID who can't afford them. So it was a really good cause. And also, if you want to go check out Richard Rankin or Sam Heughan, it was still on YouTube. So yeah, definitely recommend that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, check that out on YouTube. Oh, as always, thank you for making us ESPN of TV Talk. Please follow, rate, subscribe, YouTube, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify. Follow us on the Twitter and the Instagram. We love hearing from you guys, and thank you so much for tuning in. And with that said, let's go into Page to Screen.
I'm so excited. Okay, so I'm just going to say that a lot of what they did, they changed. It's not so much that they just invented, but they tweaked things and moved things together and just kind of like basically took out a major scene from book 5. So mm-hmm. what they did was book 5 in the Fiery Cross was supposed to be that they did go to Wily's Landing. Things did not go as they planned, but what happens is that Claire's actually on the beach with Jemmy, and Claire tries to say that Jemmy is her son. Bonnet does not believe it. It ends in a confrontation with Brianna shooting Bonnet, and she shoots him in the groin.
Which see, then, matter.
Yeah, and then when we get to book 6, A Breath of Snow and Ashes, what happens to Bonnet is that because of getting shot, like they didn't know in book 5 if he lived or died or what happened to him, he ends up losing a testicle. And so that's why he's so pissed off at Brianna, because she did this to him. Which then he ends up kidnapping her from River Run, though. And this is years later. So like this confrontation happened in 1772. 75 is when he kidnaps her, and he has the goal of selling her into pretty much selling her like as part of the sex trafficking going on, and that was the whole goal all along. And he takes her on his ship. The scene, so like in the show we saw him, you know, trying to be a gentleman. In the book he actually sleep, like doesn't sleep with her. He doesn't have sex with her, but he physically sleeps with her. He will have sex with her because, and this is kind of a spoiler. So if anyone does not want to know a spoiler from book six, you should probably not listen to this. Brianna's pregnant with a daughter, with her daughter who hasn't been born yet. Mm. And so when Bonnet abducts her, he won't sleep with her because she's pregnant and he doesn't know what that would be like. So yeah, all of that happens. And then in the end, after like he does, there is, you know, basically a confrontation. It's a little bit different. Forbes' role is different in this, but Forbes does get his ear cut off by young men. So I just wanted to throw that out. And then just for time purposes, the only other thing I'll say, there's a lot, but I will not have time to talk about all of it. I'll just say that in the end, Brianna does get to shoot Bonnet.
Okay. Good. It's what?
It is the same thing where he was sentenced to drowning, which when he was physically sleeping next to her, that's when he tells her that he always imagined drowning and the darkness around him.
Yeah. Well, she should have let him drown a little bit and then shot him. I'm sorry.
Right?
Huh?
I said more torture, please.
Yeah, right? Just a touch. Well, with that, let's just go into a quick prediction and then wrap up the show. Who wants to start?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
There we go.
I will just say that I think that we're going to start getting more into the Revolutionary War aspect. I think that the rebellion is about to begin and that's where the focus is going to be. I know that there's certain things I don't want to predict because I know some of what's going to happen based on 5 and 6, but I will just say that I think that there's potentially another family that we might be seeing at some point soon.
Angel, her face.
I want to read the book.
You should. They're really good.
Yeah, the book seems so much more juicier, so much more detailed. My prediction is there's going to be a new villain that pops up that we haven't seen before. And also, I really feel like Roger's going to be like big man on town. Like, I feel like his knife and swordsmanship is going to get better. And I feel like he's going to level up with Jamie.
Cool. I think that we're going to encounter people we've already previously encountered in a larger role. Also because I just happen to recognize an actor and be like, oh, well, they're going to expand his role. And then I also think that I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the whole Jocasta storyline with Ulysses killing Forbes, because they definitely made it sound like he has to go on the run or something because he killed Forbes. I don't know why they can't just cover for him and like toss his body somewhere, but whatever.
Like everybody else.
Huh?
I said like everyone else.
Yeah, is it because he's black? No, I'm just saying probably. But like
too.
Yeah. But so I'm curious to see what they're gonna do with that. And then I know some information, so I can't really say much else. But it'll be a very interesting last 2 episodes of the season. All right. Well, that wraps it. Go ahead.
I just want to say a big shout out to everyone in the chat. I said I would give them a shout out since we couldn't go live tonight. We have Elizabeth Brown, Eric Jackson, Gracie and Ryan, Billy, Jean Girl 24, Nitty Queen, Huffy Joe, Amy A, Nina Murphy, Robin O'Neill, Merle Ortega. Thank you guys so much for being in the chat.
Yes, thank you guys for tuning in. So sorry that we had a little hiccup, but we'll hopefully have it live for you next week. All right, I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. Angel, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Angel Taylor _ this angel with an E at the end.
All right, and Rachel?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.